play in there. But this other place, evidently they had given him a deposit on it or something, and he was going to make maybe more money than he would make the whole week playing this other place. Used, most of us had a kind of a place to where we would maybe like make a home stand, like, yeah. And that's, I think, what he used. So when he couldn't get bookings in other places, he just put that. However, I'll make a long story short. When he put me on the air that day, he called this lady at the place where he worked, called the 16th Street Grill, and said, "Did you hear the boy that just sing?" She said, "Yes, I heard him." "So how'd you like him?" He said, "Well, I liked him all right." I said, "Well, I'm going to let him work for you tonight." That's what he said. And so he looked at me, and Sonny Boy was a very big fellow. He's about as tall as you are, but larger. And at that time, even older, much older. And in fact, he was the kind of fellow that used to be, well, a fellow like me, even at 48 today, would look at him and kind of get back a little bit, you know. I felt he didn't feel right. So he looked at me then. You can imagine how I felt then, about 20, you know, 19 and 20 years old. And he said, "I want you to go down and play for Miss Annie, you know, 16th Street Grill, and you better play." I said, "Yes, sir." So that was my first job. And she paid me $12. And that was more money than I'd ever made. So she told me that's how I learned about this new radio station. She said they are just opened a new radio station and said the kids like you, and if you can get on the radio station like Sonny Boy is, then I'll give you a job paying you $12 a night with one night off and your room and board. And I didn't even believe that it was that much money in the world. So that's how I got started, and that was my first professional job.
I'll see you at 4 o'clock. I have to rush off now. I'll see you then.
Blues Boy. That started from that radio station. Anybody that lived in around Memphis at that time or had anything to do with any kind of music, Bill Street would come in some kind of way due to Mr. Handy, W.C. Handy, that wrote the Bill Street Blues. In fact, Bill, B-E-A-L-E, is not a street after all, it's an avenue. Do you know that, Betty? I learned after I had left home and went back after 20 years that all of the avenues run east and west, and the streets run north and south. So I learned that when I finally went back.
I don't think they're officially named the Bill Street.
I think they will.
They have.
Have they? Yeah. That's funny, you know. No, seriously, you know, when I was learning to fly, that's when I got interested. I learned to fly. And when they used to give us maps, we were learning about reading maps in the air. It's kind of hard, you know. So I found that all of the odd numbers ran north and south. And even numbers run east and west. And then when I got down on the ground, I started finding out that the highways was the same, because 82 was east and west, 61 is north. I read that. Look at you, Bill. I know you know about
Highway 61.
Yeah. And that's how I learned that, was through flying. And that's when I went back home, back to Memphis, rather, and started looking. I found out the same thing about the streets there, the avenues.
I guess the opposite in New York. Yeah, I think
yeah.
People run the other way.
Yeah.
The avenues run
the other way. And New York is always different.
Yeah. I was thinking you were saying that, you know, blues should be popularized. That may be a way of trying to heighten the respect, heighten or develop it. I don't know which it is, for a whole area, you know.
What do you think a place like Yale can do to help you and to promote your music?
Well, one of the things we'd like today is we talk about it and discuss it to where the kids, especially the black kids, wouldn't be ashamed of it or be ashamed or be identified with it. This is the thing that's different. Now, the white kids have never had to be ashamed of this kind of music, so to them, when they get into it, they either like it or don't like it. So it, they don't have to think in terms of what I was even taught, for instance. I was taught that by my relatives that these was reels. This was a word that you probably never heard of, but them reels, they say, you singing these reels around here. And you could get a backhand slap that would be worse than the Exorcist. Well, I mean, you know, okay, all right. But that's the way it was. I mean, they just didn't allow it around the house. And if we and we were kids, like the kids are today, and we like to get in our own thing, but I could never listen to my favorite people around, you know, some of my relatives. Not that we didn't have people that we liked that was coming on the scene at the time that I was a teenager. For instance, Louis Jordan was one of my favorites as a teenager because he was popular at that time. Louis Jordan and certain things Nat Cole did that I liked, and well, I liked jazz. Sarah Vaughan was young at the time, you know. Ella Fitzgerald, many of the people that, well, of course, just like Charles Brown was. Charles Brown, Robert Nighthawk, and quite a few other guys that I liked. And in my time, if you follow. But now I had my aunt that was crazy about Blind Lemon and Barbecue Slim and Barbecue Bob. People like that. Well, some of them didn't really touch me, just like maybe B.B. King wouldn't touch your kids. I mean, as far as somebody that they liked, you understand? But at least I knew about him, and I knew about his music. If he played, I could tell today, you know. Well, I'm trying to say, like, at that time, when I was a teenager, if I heard Barbecue Bob, if I heard Ledbetter, Belly, as some people call him, whichever is the right one. If I heard either one of those people, I could identify, you know, I would know one from the other. Do you understand what I mean? At least I knew. And the reason why I didn't like them or did like them was a choice of mine, not because of what somebody told me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Well, the kids today don't have that choice because they do not have a chance to hear them. They do not have that chance. So if in textbooks or through teaching that, like when I'm, well, we'll say 49, if somebody called me black, you know, if he wasn't too big, I'd try to fight him, you know, because I figured he was trying to insult me. But if he said colored, well, I'd go along. You know, right. So today it's just the opposite. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Right.
So now this is what I'm trying to say. A lot of us, like to me, the things that I didn't know yesterday that I know today that happened that I thought was right then, I can laugh about it today and I'm not ashamed of it because I think that people do make mistakes. And there's been many mistakes made, you know, in the world, not only in this country. So if we know that this was, and it was, well, shown to the people as it should be, if we do it today and let them know that by them disliking it yesterday because of something that was false, that they can like it today and nobody's going to laugh at them. They figure that they're the only ones making mistakes. This could be shown to the people and Yale can do that. Then the young people will have a chance to say, well, I don't like B.B. King. Why? Well, I just don't like his music. But then they won't have to say, well, that was mom and dad's music, or that old music ain't no good, you know. At least you can have another reason for disliking. Do you understand what I'm saying? So this is what I think. That, as I mentioned earlier about television, for instance, you got many programs or many type of things going on here. It's like the movie, so whatever it may be. And be able to show the black kids that this is something that you're not asking them to love it. You're not telling them that they have to like it, even. but that this is a kind of music that has been created in America by black people. So it's just like your grandfathers, great-great-grandfathers were brought over that were slaves. Whatever you think of them, maybe you call some of them Uncle Toms, or maybe you call some of them this, or some of them that, or maybe you didn't like some of them, or whatever. Or maybe some of them was, you know, like giants. But whatever they were, they still were your grandfather. Am I making myself clear? Do anybody know what I'm saying? Whether you like it or you didn't like it, it still is a part of you. That's what I'm talking about, the blues. And if this could be shown to the kids, the little kids, and the students, well, then they don't have to, like if B.B. King come in the room, or if Muddy Waters or somebody come in the room, they don't have to get in the Conwell as a blues singer, you know. So they don't have to do that. At least if they don't like B.B. King, or they don't like Muddy, or don't like, they have that right. But not because he's a blues singer. That's what I'm talking about. And this, I think you can do.
I got it. It's a pleasure. Hope I see you this afternoon.
Thank you.
They'll let you rest too.
No, I'm all right. I've enjoyed myself very much. I've been doing this for 27 years, you know, trying to get people to at least know what we're doing, know what it's about. I haven't got tired yet.
John is working on the papers of Frederick Douglass, and a lot of his work sort of fits into what you're saying.
You know, it's such a great thing to know that people like Frederick Douglass and many of these, quite a few of the people had forethought about what we are coming into now. It's such a great thing that some of them would speak on what they believed and could see when a lot of us didn't see it, and just now beginning to come into it. And it's so good to know that.
Douglass is one of those.
Yes.
Incredible. Incredible.
And it was so funny because, as I mentioned a while ago about somebody calling me black, say 15, 20 years ago, I would have been insulted, and really couldn't see that I really am I am a black man. Why not? The many other things that go along with it. Like I said, we've made mistakes, but why is it that it's so hard, seeming, for us to really say it like it is? That's what I'm trying to say now. It seemed to be a very hard thing for some of us.
I'm not sure it's... there's always been a few people like that who have been able to say it like it was. There were a lot of people out there who didn't want to hear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
That's
right.
That's the problem.
That is right.
I know this. Some of the old country blues singers were pretty outspoken, though. They didn't mince their words and... in a sense, told it like it was, judging from some of the recorded material.
Yeah, but a lot of the communities thought of them a certain way, too. That was another thing that we was talking about today. And a lot of the societies looked on them as a stereotype person. In other words, for instance, if one blues singer, I can talk about blues singers because I'm one, was drunk, they caught him drunk at one time. Then they said all them blues singers drink liquor and they're drunk all the time. Regardless of what he said, be like I heard a guy say once that a drunk man speaks a sober man's thoughts, but he still don't respect him because the dude's drunk when he said. This has been one of the things that we've tried to change, me and some of the other guys. Sure, I may drink, but if I drink, it's no more than Frank Sinatra drinking if he wants, you know. I may get drunk, but so may Sammy Davis may get drunk. Dean Martin drink quite a bit, they tell me. So why look at me if I get drunk? This has been one of the things that we've been trying to change a bit. You know.
Don't you think? I get the feeling, and you've been sort of talking about this, that not only blacks ostracizing blues singers, but the society also. I mean, you're only now, you know, beginning to get some sort of wide acceptance of, you know, people being willing to listen to you. Don't you think that part of the reason for that, and I'm going down back to Larry's point about the honesty in the early blues songs. I mean, they were singing about everything under the sun. And I don't think, you know, that the society at large was ready to hear that message.
True.
And that, I mean, that was why they weren't going to put them on the radio station. Those guys were, you know, like, the landlord don't come kick me out, and I ain't got no rent, y'all know ain't no work around. And, I mean, they weren't willing to deal with that. I mean, you don't want people to hear that. I mean, not at that time they didn't want to hear them on the radio. I mean, don't you think that's one of the reasons why they...
Yeah, I don't think they've been, I don't think they're ready for it.
You're right.
Not for that bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's time, though, that it should be put there. And I think it's enough people